It's time for Sweet Home Cannabama, a show that'll answer all your questions, provide accurate information, and dispel the myths of cannabis. And have your specific questions answered by emailing jennifer@cannabama.com or text or call 343-0106. And now, for all things cannabis in Alabama, here's your host, Jennifer Boozer.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm your host, Jennifer Boozer Stewart, former owner of Cannabama in downtown Mobile. You can still reach us at our telephone number, 251-255-5155. You can also text us here at the station, 251-343-0106. And you can find us on social media under Sweet Home Cannabama or Jennifer Boozer Stewart. I want to go ahead and introduce my guest before I get to current events, because you can see he is in studio, and so we can't hide him. This is Donald Modern. He is running for Alabama State Senate in District 11, and we're going to talk to him tonight. But first, I want to get to some current events. You'll be hearing a new ad on the show from Lifelong POS Service. Lifelong POS is coming to Alabama. If you own a vape or smoke shop, you need to get into compliance with new laws, and Lifelong is equipped to help you do that. Here's how. All applicants, new and existing, must submit detailed info about their scanning software for ABC approval. This is a new requirement as of June 2025. So forms must be completed, signed, and emailed to nicotine@abc.alabama.gov. This is for vape products. Processing could take up to 2 weeks, and an approved copy is required with ENDS permit applications. So existing permit holders must comply immediately, and if you're not approved, the ABC will notify you, not me, and resubmission may be required. They are sending their CTO to Alabama in the coming week, and they want to meet with you. If you own a vape or smoke shop here, they're actually going to be giving away three of these devices that are approved by the ABC board for scanning IDs in compliance with these new laws. If you are a smoke shop or vape shop owner and you would like to have a visit from Jeffrey Donahue from Lifelong POS, you can call 678-477-6704. That's 678-477-6704, and we appreciate them for advertising on the show tonight. I know that they also do POS systems and merchant processing services for businesses like the former Cannabama, and I highly recommend them. I've been following this company for a long time, and they are really great, especially when you've been with Square like I had been, and Square decides to drop you like a hot rock or hold on to tens of thousands of dollars of your credit card sales for no reason. These guys can help you get in business, stay in business, and stay in compliance. So thank you to Lifelong POS. And again, that number is 678-477-6704. Little bit of sad news. Another dispensary, one we've talked about here on the show before, Avondale Apothecary in the Birmingham area. They have closed their retail location as of the 6th. They are offering online sales, just like Freedom CBD in Tuscaloosa, who closed their doors just before Labor Day. Check out both of those businesses online, and please help them to stay afloat. But we wish them luck, and hopefully we can fix this mess so that all of us can get back to doing what we love and serve the people of Alabama. Last Thursday, I got the privilege to host Dr. Will Boyd, who has been a guest on the show. He is running for governor in Alabama. We hosted a meet and greet at Innovation Portal, which, if you're trying to have any kind of event in the city of Mobile, definitely check out Innovation Portal. It is an incredible facility. I remember when they were putting the building together and getting that thing up and running in 2020 during the pandemic. I lived next door to the building, and so had never been there and got to go down there. Thank you so much. Give a shout out to Mr. James Johnson, who helped us get that together, because he is a member at Innovation Portal. But that meet and greet with Dr. Boyd was an incredible experience. It was a first for me. I got to introduce him and close the night out and sit back and listen. The room was packed. It was electric. He had questions about everything you could possibly imagine. We did not just talk about hemp and cannabis. We talked about everything from infrastructure, education, you know, trades to animal cruelty and immigration. And he had an intelligent, articulate, very compassionate, and just amazing answer to every question. He never faltered. He didn't even have to think about it. He was on point. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about Tommy Tuberville. And I would love to see a debate between Dr. Will Boyd and Tommy Tuberville, because I don't care who you are, unless you just really don't care about the state of Alabama. If you can put these two men in the same room and ask them identical questions, Will Boyd would undoubtedly be the only choice for governor in Alabama. And I don't need to say ugly things or point out the obvious in the shortcomings of Tommy Tuberville. We all know that they're there. three branches of government. Anyway. But Dr. Boyd is out here on his own dime and his own time in a grassroots effort, and he has been traipsing across the state back and forth, back and forth. If you're listening and Dr. Boyd has not been able to visit your city or your county and you would like that to happen, reach out. I can connect you with his campaign. They would love to be able to come. So many of these candidates that I've interviewed, including Donald, they're very, very willing to meet with the people, the actual voters, the people, the citizens who these things, the legislation that is passed and enforced and the way that the laws of Alabama are upheld, they care about how it affects the average citizen. And the people of Alabama have nothing in common with someone who can come up with $5 million in donations from God knows who or dark money from another state. You know, we have nothing in common with people like that. And there are normal, average, hardworking Alabamians who are running for office, who love this state, who love the people of this state. And Dr. Will Boyd is one of them. Donald is one of them. And Dr. Deidre Willis, Mandy Ledkins, Matt Wheeler, all of the guys that we've had on the show over the last couple of months, these are people that love Alabama and the people of Alabama. I hate the government in Alabama. I really do. It's so frustrating. I got a big fat dose of it, especially this session. We all did. I'm sitting here cracking jokes about not being able to pay my car note, but that's really my reality. You know, and making jokes about, hey, well, I'm unemployed, I have all this time. It's not funny. It's not. It's humor is my way of coping a lot, because if I'm not laughing, I'm crying. Trust me, no one wants to see that. But this is real. And there are legislators that are in office currently. And there are people who want to be legislators who care about this issue and who know the suffering that it has caused in Alabama. And we want to support those candidates. And one last bit of business, the medical cannabis program. Oh, everybody stop holding your breath. The AMCC administrative appeals process for dispensary licenses has begun, and they expect that process to be concluded by October. And, of course, are now still saying that we should be able to see sales of cannabis in the state by the end of the year. But as I reported to Pro Cannabis Media, they've been saying that for 4 years now. And so a lot of people are pretty much, it's a joke, it's a national embarrassment how badly this whole program has been handled and the amount of lawsuits. It's ironic that the people who claim to want to help the sick, suffering, and dying in Alabama are the ones holding up the process by suing because they can't accept that they did not get a license. And they're suing the ones who did. And it just goes to show you how when that much of a monopoly or a, what Marty Shelper at the Alabama Cannabis Coalition likes to call a state-sanctioned cartel is involved, there's no consideration for the actual people and for the actual suffering. And that is probably the most tragic part of it all. The integrated facility appeals process is supposed to be underway, but they have not been given a hearing date as of yet. So we still have no real clear idea of when the program might be functional. Again, you know, like I reported earlier this week, we're already reeling from the loss of 90% of the hemp products that people have been using, their only access to plant medicine in the state. And so for that to kind of be ripped away and businesses like mine, I mean, I could have stayed in business, but I wouldn't have been able to pay the rent or pay employees or order products that are compliant because all of the product that I had became illegal. And for why, we don't know. None of it makes sense. And so for people to lose access, I was sitting here, Donald can attest to the fact that I was sitting here in the studio about 20 minutes ago and got another call from someone who did not know we were closed and did not understand, and trying to help them figure out, you know, they feel bad for me, but they also were like, well, what the heck am I supposed to do? And so with that in mind, this process with the Alabama Medical Cannabis Commission, you know, it's important for something to happen. But in my opinion, the hemp industry was serving the people of Alabama better than what the cannabis program will. When we come back from the break, we're going to get to know Donald Modern. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama every Monday night right here on FM Talk 106.5. And we are live streaming from YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, and LinkedIn. I want to introduce you to my friend here, Donald Modern. We have met before. Yes. We met at Dr. Deidre's Farm Expo up in the Huntsville area a couple months ago, yes. And I got to know you a little bit.
Got to meet your husband.
And yes.
He's like a very great guy.
Yes, thank you. I like him a lot. So I'm going to read a little of your bio so that they can get to know you. Donald is a native-born Alabamian who has lived in the South his entire life with a background in journalism, business, and event management. He also has been a small business owner and operator living in Shelby, Alabama for nearly 3 years. He is running for state senate in District 11, which encompasses southeastern Shelby County, western Talladega County, and the southern half of St. Clair County. His campaign for state senate is based on standing up for unifying principles that he feels can circumvent partisan politics. This isn't about left or right. It's about right and wrong. I really love that. His campaign is for the folks who are tired of the noise, tired of the lies, and ready for a state government that puts our citizens and our future first. He is running to stop Alabama from being a punchline. And boy, I told you, medical cannabis. Anyway, Donald is here to bring dignity, common sense, and real solutions back to Alabama. This includes restoring trust in government by keeping it out of our homes, classrooms, and personal lives where it does not belong. It includes standing for clean air, working families, functioning and safe infrastructure, local control of our education, and accountable leadership and legislation that reflects the actual reality here in Alabama. He wants to protect the freedoms we all hold dear and get back those which have been steadily eroded. For the listeners here on this show specifically, this includes standing for the legalization and decriminalization of cannabis in order to end nearly a century of harmful prohibition and bring about a potential economic revolution to our state. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be back in Mobile. I was born in Mobile.
Really?
So, and it's, you know, right here in this building, we're only about a block away from where my parents first met.
Oh, wow.
So it's just good. I've been, you know, running through the neighborhood looking at stuff. It's great to be here.
Yeah.
But, no, I'm excited. I'm running for state senate. And, you know, I'm 29 years old.
I know you're young.
Right.
I didn't know you were that young. Man.
A mustache helps, you know?
Yeah, I could have been your teen mom. That's how old I am.
But, you know, but for those 29 years, you know, I've lived in this state. And for all of those 29 years, I've just watched as people have been disappointed and frustrated and sick and tired of the way things are going. And it's just continuously getting worse. And, you know, being a taxpayer here, being a homeowner in this state, I just felt like I needed to put my money where my mouth was, where I was feeling it. You know, and I like that you like the line that, you know,
it's not about left and right.
Thank
it's
you.
About
it's
right and wrong.
Right
yeah.
and wrong. And I can thank Ronald Reagan for that line.
Really?
I can't take full credit for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a matter of doing what I think feels right.
Right. Is that why you're running?
Yes, it is. I feel in my heart that this is where I feel needed, where I think I can do the best.
Right.
I've always had a pride in politics, a love for politics. unlike the people who are currently in those positions. You know, I like talking to people, getting to know their story, helping those people. And that just does not appear to be what's going on in our Congress and our legislators, our governor.
Right.
And the gentleman who wants to be the governor.
Well, and I thought I came from a corrupt state because I'm from Louisiana. I've been here 21 years. This is where my children were raised. My daughter was born here. You know, it's the only home my son has ever known. He was too little to remember Louisiana. And I always thought, you know, that Alabama was better somehow. And I don't know if maybe it was better and it's not anymore, but holy cow. Mm-hmm. And especially having been thrown into politics by way of necessitating my presence at this situation at the State House and having these bills that would literally wipe out everything that we have worked for, mm-hmm. and in direct conflict with service to the people of Alabama. And then this year being carpet bombed with bills for no reason. And really the lies. I've seen people tell some whoppers. I've seen people tell some whoppers. But this year, that's why I said we should nominate Representative Witt for an Oscar.
Right.
For best actor in a drama. Because it was so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I mean, we have been battling for our lives. And so it has been, it seems to me, to highlight, even magnify the corruption and just the lopsidedness of how things are done.
The lopsidedness, the saying one thing and then doing the other.
And nobody calling anybody out.
And just, you know, not even taking the time to talk and learn from the people who know what they're talking about.
Right. Well, you know, like they should, somebody said, I don't remember what comedian said, that politicians should have to wear jackets with their sponsor logos mm-hmm. on them, like a NASCAR driver,
right.
because that is who they vote for.
Mm-hmm.
They do not vote for the best interests of the state of Alabama.
Well, it's like,
show me a bill. I don't care what it is. It's obvious.
Because it's clear, you know, 445 is not for the people of Alabama.
No.
It's not for the businesses in Alabama.
Nope.
It's not for the economy of Alabama.
Exactly.
It's not for the future of Alabama. It's for the pharmaceutical industries.
Right.
It's for
big alcohol,
big
losing
alcohol
sales.
And big tobacco. It's for the companies who have already taken enough, in
right.
my opinion.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, even the nicotine vape ban bill. You know, that is purely in the interest of the big tobacco, because that's why you're only allowed to have tobacco-flavored and menthol-flavored Juul sticks and stuff from R.J. Reynolds and
right.
Philip Morris. What a coincidence that they're the two that everybody thinks is okay, but the rest are just the devil?
Right.
No, I don't think so, you know? And that bill was pushed and pushed for 4 years mm-hmm. and finally passed, and it's already creating its own disaster and the litigation involved. You know, the hundreds of thousands, not only the hundreds of thousands that industry people are having to put up so we can continue to sell these to our customers, but the state's resources.
Exactly. And, you know, it's one thing to try to make a legislation about it being safe or manage the creation of it. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm not necessarily opposed to ensuring that, you know, bubble
gum
mint is not
going to... No, safety is absolutely paramount.
Right. You know, I don't want bubble gum mint to give me cancer, but that's not really what we were seeing.
Right.
You know, that's not what that bill was about.
Right. Right. No, it definitely it's not about that. And I found it interesting, too. You know, one of Representative Witt's main arguments was that a 50 milligrams is like a whole bottle of 80 proof vodka. But then in an email to someone asking, why did you do this? He's like, well, just buy 10 gummies. So they're okay with you taking 100 milligrams. They just want you to pay 10 times more
mm-hmm.
and 10% tax on top of the 10% tax.
It's also important that our legislators can do math correctly.
Especially the ones that are in charge of banks.
Yes.
So, let's get into your overall policy.
Yeah, sure.
You oppose state laws that supersede the authority of local school boards and other organizations in the area of library management or cell phone policy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a new cell phone policy in the school system.
There
so
is.
Tell us what you mean by that.
So, you know, so getting started, and I see that, you know, we've already gotten the three.
Yeah.
But To get started with the cell phone policy, you know, I understand the desire to not have kids on their phone. Mm-hmm. I was in high school.
I have teenagers.
It feels like it wasn't as long ago as it was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember what that was like, and I can understand a teacher's desire. But I really think that's on the school boards, and that should be a school board's prerogative on how they want to handle it.
Right.
Passing a state law that takes that power away from them is not going to help those matters.
Right.
It's not going to really fix the problem they're having.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that getting kids involved with state law is really the best way to handle any problem.
Right.
And especially a nonviolent or non-criminal problem. But I
right.
don't want the government involved. If I were to have a kid on their phone, I don't want them to have legislative problems.
Well, there's the issue of parental responsibility. Again, just like with our industry, if the school has a policy that says no cell phones, which every school I know of does.
They do.
Then it is on the parents to say you cannot take your phone to school and not say, well, I don't care what they say, I'm calling you at school.
Uncle
which
Sam's
is what
the
a lot
uncle for a
happens
reason.
A lot of time. So I can understand that the schools want help with that, but the schools need to deal with that in their own community. I
exactly.
agree.
You know, Uncle Sam's an uncle for a reason. He's not
right.
the parent.
Right.
You know, he's and that also goes with, you know, libraries. I'm an award-winning journalist now. I left the papers, the Shelby County Reporter, about a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But while I was working there, I wrote an article or a column about the North Shelby Library, which isn't in my district, but it was in my coverage area.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about how the state government had taken a publicly elected school board, kicked it out, and appointed their own because they weren't happy with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no business in that. There's
right.
no right in that.
Right.
I don't like a government that thinks it can just make every decision for me, and that's up to and including what I can go to a public building and try to read.
Right. That's true. I know there's been a lot of controversy down here in the Fairhope area.
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Over what is allowed or not allowed in the public libraries. It's been a huge deal down here, and I haven't paid much attention to it. I don't live in Fairhope, and I think that people should police mm-hmm. their own children. And, you know, information is public. And look, these kids are carrying porn in their pocket. Can we be honest about that? You're handing them a device that they can look at any kind of disgusting, inappropriate thing they want to from the age of two.
Exactly. Yep.
And you want to control, you know, where does it end?
If you don't want your kid reading it, don't let them read it.
But just don't like try you to, don't give your kid a screen if you don't want them exposed to the screen.
But don't try to supersede another parent's authority over their kid to let them read it.
That's right. That's right. I think that the state, even through the education system in a way, has tried to take over the raising of our children. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more with Donald about his policy positions, including dam safety, chronic wasting disease, and other issues facing Alabama. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Donald Modern. Sorry, I almost said
it.
Martin. Donald Modern, who is running for state senate in District 11. So let's talk about dam safety
yeah.
and an inspection program to protect town, cities, and public safety. We don't have any dams around here that I know of. So what is this?
So, you know, there are 2,266 dams across the state of Alabama.
Wow.
You know, and 228 of those are ones where if they were to fail, people are going to die.
Oh, wow.
All right. So that's where we're starting at.
Yeah.
We are the only state in the entire union, the United States of America, that does not have a mandatory dam safety or inspection program.
Really?
We have nothing. Now, we do have, and this is only in the past year, we passed an optional program.
Mm.
So they can take part in it if they so desire
yeah.
and then do with it what they will.
Are the dams built or maintained by private companies or by the state?
So we have both.
Okay.
The vast, vast majority in the state are all private. So we have a few.
Okay.
But I think it's, and don't quote me, maybe like 60 are public
okay.
dams. The rest of it's private.
Okay.
We don't inspect those really. I think I read somewhere that in 2023, a federal database, you know, we say that 79% of all dams in the state have never once been thoroughly inspected for safety, which is why I'm calling for us to pass a mandatory one, get with the program like every other state in the country.
Right. I mean, that just passed. Sounds like a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm. And we don't seem to have, because I've looked for it, I have people who work in emergency management who claim they have trouble finding it, and they're the ones who do it for a living.
Wow.
We don't have an inventoried database of all the dams we have.
Oh,
we have
wow.
a rough list. But we don't know exactly what condition all of our dams are in. We don't know exactly where they all are.
Right, and how many of them are on the brink of disaster.
Right, and like I said,
would you even know until it happened?
Well, so
it's not a storm you could see coming if something cracks open and that's it, or someone were to sabotage it.
And so that's part of the reason I think a lot of the pushback's been on having emergency action plans published and available to the public is that they don't want people to have access to that information to where they could take advantage of it.
Mm.
But when you have families downstream from one of these dams that could fail and could kill people,
right.
we need to make at least a version of it public.
It would be different if there was a few.
Right.
That's a massive number of dams.
It's more than you would think.
Well, I know that Alabama is the most biodiverse state in the country.
I think I heard Will Boyd call it the Amazon.
Yeah,
I've
heard that it's considered the Amazon of the United States because of the biodiversity. There's so much we got going on. You know, we have mountains and we have the Gulf of Mexico and everything in between. And I guess it shouldn't shock me that there are that many dams because we do have so many waterways.
Mm-hmm.
But that is scary. I mean, so I bet there are people that don't even realize that they're in the eventual path
right.
of a disaster.
I know people who do not, they're not aware that they are in the flood path of one should it fail.
Right.
And the thing is that these do fail. You know, the average age of our dams is over 50 years old now.
Right.
Which they're not built to last that long without
right.
investigation, without inspection, without rebuilding.
Right. And if water can carve out the Grand Canyon over time.
Exactly.
It's a destructive force. You know, people don't think of it in the same way that they think of fire or even a tornado or something. But water, I mean, look what just happened in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That was horrific. Look what happened in North Carolina, you know, and Kentucky with the flooding from hurricanes. That's insane.
The flooding in Asheville. You
that
know,
they're still finding, you know, bodies. It's it's crazy. And it wiped out whole communities, you know, just left piles of sticks and rocks.
And so what I'm terrified is that we're, because of inaction, because we don't care, or the legislators that are there now don't seem to care.
Right.
I'm terrified that we're going to have a situation
fine,
like
it's
that.
It's fine. Well, let me tell you something that I've noticed is that a lot of times the Alabama legislature especially is more reactive than proactive. And I would like to bring up a touchy subject, but the rampant abuse of children, sexual abuse, even torture, the neglect of children. We all know that trafficking happens in Alabama.
Yes.
You know, I was told years ago to always be careful on I-20 in Birmingham because that's like a huge human trafficking area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people know this is happening. I see almost daily somewhere in this state there's a teacher, a coach, a cop, you know, a pastor, a priest, people that are directly linked to working with children that are trusted community leaders being arrested for this.
And, I mean,
and Bibb County. Ugh.
Not to get, you know, too personal about anything, but, you know, I thank God every day. I never had anything happen to me, but my fourth grade teacher went down for molesting girls.
Yeah.
And so it's, I mean, just at a young age with me being in, I think, middle school at the time, maybe early high school, when that all came out, it's, you realize just how rampant it is and how under the cover it is.
Right. And well, after the Bibb County thing came out, this horror bunker situation with these children, now those legislators want to pass a law that makes it a capital punishment and all that. What about, I mean, that was, they knew it was going on in February. They were investigating it for months before any arrests were made.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world? And why are we, because if that law is passed, it won't go into effect until May.
Right.
You know, it just seems to be reacting to things that should have been common sense to handle.
Right.
In the state, and it's always the people that suffer for it.
And
you know?
We don't have to have tragedy to have progress in this state.
Right. It's common sense to protect children from people like that. It's common sense to make the punishment harsh.
Right.
It's also common sense not to create felons out of people doing something federally legal, and we'll get to that
right.
later.
Yes, we will.
Tell me what chronic wasting disease is in our white-tailed deer population for me and the five other people listening that don't know anything about deer hunting.
So chronic wasting disease, just to keep it short in layman's terms, it's a brain prion. So I don't know if you know what that is, but it's very similar in just a retrospect to mad cow disease or kuru in the human population.
Okay.
And so what it is, it's a folded prion or a folded protein is what we call a prion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difficult things with these, it's not a virus. Mm-hmm. You can't immunize against it. You can't make a vaccine for it.
Because we know all that went well for humans.
But with a brain prion, you can't protect from it.
Yeah.
And once you get it, that's it. You can't get rid of it. And in lab circumstances, you can kill it with intense heat, but it's in a kind of intense heat where you would destroy any environment it was in to fix it. Like we're talking explosion level.
Wow.
So once it's in the environment, it can exist on its own without a host, just in, I guess, deer droppings for virtually forever.
Is it something that can affect humans if you were to eat the meat
as
or
far as
be exposed
I know,
to it?
As far as I know now, there has never been a recorded case of it jumping to a human.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we, as far to my knowledge, we have put it in dogs as you know to experiment and study at the transversal of it. And it so it shows an ability to hop species, but it's never been in the human population.
Right.
Now, the big problem, though, is it has a 100% fatality of whatever it infects.
Okay.
Now, that's over a long term. I'm not saying it does it in a week.
Right.
But if it gets into the deer,
that deer
it
is
will eventually die from it.
Okay. Okay. Wow. I did not know that.
Right.
What about benefits for retired firefighters? This is not something I've heard about.
Right. So I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, House Bill 227 by Russell Betzel. That is a bill that sought to bait it, and I'm trying to do it because I don't want to get it wrong.
Right.
But it started to roll back lifetime death benefits for our firefighters in the
wow.
state because Betzel and a few others claim we don't have enough money for it. Now, I view it as a problem of we need to figure out how to get more money for it, not let's remove what
let's,
these people have earned.
These people who have given their literal lives to protect the citizens of their whatever municipality they're working in and their family's ability to continue without the breadwinner of their family. I mean, that's just a no-brainer.
And we're
you
not
find the money.
You know, we're not doing the same with our police departments. But with firefighters, they deal with cancerous things all day, every day. That's their job. They go into smoke-filled rooms. They spray fire retardants on things.
Even the crumbling buildings from 9/11
and
the dust. And all of those things that are still killing people to this day. It took 20 years, some of them, but they're still dying from stuff like that. What about the legislation that would prohibit concealment of the identity of law enforcement, including the use of masks and other methods intentionally meant to obscure their identity or allegiance to law enforcement?
So I'd like to see a bill that reflects that get passed. And if I'm elected, I would like to be at least a co-sponsor of a bill that would reflect that.
Yeah.
I view it as a way, it's safety for our law enforcement as well as for the citizens.
Right.
I don't want to know, like to not have an understanding of who's trying to enforce the law.
Right.
Right? So if I don't understand who someone is and I'm given
then
a
you're just a big guy with a gun.
Right.
And I need to defend myself.
You can't understand if it's a lawful order if you don't know where it's coming from.
That's very true.
I don't think America is a place where we need masked law enforcement.
Right.
You know, if we are doing the right thing, the correct thing, and the legal thing, we shouldn't have to protect who we are while we're doing it.
Right. And you believe that we should be able to vote in a referendum on things like lottery or voter initiatives that do not exist. You know, I say all the time, Alabama only gets to vote for people.
Right.
And most of those people run unopposed.
Exactly.
So you believe that the people should be able to vote on issues like lottery, like cannabis, like, you know, all of the big hot ticket
and
items.
Especially those items as well.
Yes.
Because if I'm not mistaken, we can in this state have referendums.
Yes.
I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure we can.
Well, I think that there's probably a big effort to push for voter initiatives in the next session because, I mean, come on, what are y'all afraid of? Why are you afraid to let the people of Alabama? Because you already know the answer. They're going to overwhelmingly vote for cannabis. They're going to overwhelmingly vote for an education lottery. You know, we just lost $120 million from the grocery 1%.
And for a state
we've got to come up with that money. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little more with Donald. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Now with all the information you want about cannabis, here's your host, Jennifer Booser.
Welcome back to Sweet Home Cannabama. Tonight we're talking with Donald Modern, who's running for State Senate in District 11. Now let's get to the meat of the show conversation, and let's talk about cannabis. You are in favor of broad cannabis legalization that embraces the plant and its capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And you do not believe that currently floated methods of rescheduling are correct.
Right. That is correct.
You see what we see.
I do.
It's on a silver platter to the pharmaceutical industry. It cuts out the existing industry that created the normalcy, created the demand, created an environment where people are no longer afraid and not succumbing to reefer madness anymore. We have all done that blood, sweat, and tears.
You know, for the past 50 years, this country has just watched as mom-and-pop stores shrivel up. As corporations get bigger, you know, there are no more mom and pop stores on Clear's Main Street. There's a Walmart.
Right.
Right. And I love Walmart. I go to Walmart to do my shopping. But the fact is that the people deserve to have their businesses.
Yeah.
You know, and we deserve our chance at the American dream.
Right.
Instead of just giving more and more and more to the people who've already achieved it.
Yeah.
So I don't think that rescheduling is going to fix with the problems that we're having.
No, because it's still federally illegal.
Right.
It's still, you're still going to go to jail.
You would still go to jail.
You're still going to have all those things. The irony of it, they're pitching it to the industry as, oh, you'll be able to get these tax incentives and you'll be able to have banking. For what?
And you
for a business that can't exist because it's not of CVS.
And we're going to give it straight to the pharmaceutical industry. And we've seen how, well, relatively trustworthy they can be on some occasions.
Well, we'll see them do to weed what R.J. Reynolds and Philip Morris did to tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Tobacco didn't used to have 50 ingredients that are carcinogenic and all that stuff. It was just a leaf that you dried and you smoked. And
exactly.
People did it forever. And, it'll kill you.
If the pharmaceutical industry wants to dip their toe in it while everyone else can, all the better. That's
right.
Just more money into the
industry.
There
are going to always be people who, no matter what they know or have access to, they're only going to take it if a doctor said it and a pharmacy filled it. And
right.
That's okay.
That's their choice.
That is.
But they should have that choice is the problem.
They should have that choice. That's exactly right. And handing it to the pharmaceutical industry is not the answer.
It is not.
They are already too big and too powerful. The reason we have not had access to this plant for 80-something years is because the pharmaceutical industry wanted control over what we use for medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they've eradicated, you know, look at the food pyramid. Look at everybody takes a pill for everything. You know, nobody starts with changing their diet, changing their stress levels, changing their environment, you know, or doing the things that they can. Keep shoveling the nasty food and the drugs in your body, and we'll come up with another pill for that. And then we'll put you on chemo until you're dead.
Yep.
And squeeze every drop. And then we'll let your kids have to pay for it after you're dead. It's disgusting.
It is. And you know, you got pretty close to an old George Carlin bit that is reflecting the exact same thing.
Well, like I said, if I ain't laughing, I'm crying. Well, you said that you think that Alabama stands to gain a head start over other states. I think that Alabama could be a leader in this country.
It can. That we have that solid opportunity, and we're passing on it right now.
Well, and Alabama legislature in 2016 believed that they could be on the forefront of this revolution.
Exactly.
When they passed SB 393 2 years before the feds.
And in that short span of time, thousands of small businesses opened.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars were being
made. Millions a month. I know what some of my colleagues make, and it's a lot more than me.
And the more that we allow the use of cannabis and we start investigating and how we can use it, the more use cases we find. And in my opinion, it's seemingly limitless we can do with this plant.
It is, especially combined with other natural remedies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a panacea. It's something that our bodies are built to use, and our bodies make our own version of cannabinoids, and we're just supplementing, just
right.
like we do with iron and vitamin C and vitamin D from the sunshine. It's something our bodies require. However, it's not a fix-all,
mm-hmm.
but it's dang sure close to it for a lot of people.
And I don't know about you personally, but you know, I don't very much enjoy the personal use of it, either recreational or medicinal.
I like edibles. I don't like to smoke it. I think it stinks. I think it
right.
tastes terrible, and I don't like the way it makes me cough and all that. But
unlike
some people
a lot
enjoy
of
it.
Unlike a lot of politicians, I will admit, I have smoked it. I have ate it. I did inhale.
Mm-hmm.
So. But it's not just about the recreational or the medicinal use. It's about the industrial use.
Absolutely. Hemp lime construction materials. I mean, we could talk about that for five shows in
right.
a row and never fully cover it. You know, hemp insulation, anything made out of cotton, wood, or petroleum can be made from hemp sustainably. And if Henry Ford can make an entire car body
right.
with hemp fibers that was harder than steel, and it ran on hemp biodiesel in 1940, why have we been fighting whole wars
and it's not
over
even,
a limited resource?
You know, biodiesel, ethanol, methanol, you can make all those with cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, I was just reading a report the other day that they're finding ways to make batteries.
Absolutely, supercapacitors.
That outperform lithium ion.
Yes,
so,
they say if you made car batteries with hemp, you could literally pull up to a station, plug it in for 30 to 90 seconds, and go on your way instead of hours of charging and bursting into flames for 19 straight hours.
And that's my main problem with, you know, electric cars now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do with the batteries when they're done?
Right.
You know,
all of those limited natural resources
right.
that could have been used for so many other things, or leave regions unblemished by all of the mining. Because the more prolific cell phones and electric cars and other robotic-type things become, the more lithium and other resources
mm-hmm.
we're going to have to find
and it's
somewhere.
Destroying our natural environment.
Yes.
It's making us reliant on other countries, which
yeah.
when I would not like us to be.
Right.
It's making our state reliant on other ones.
Right.
And it's just not what we have to do. It's
right.
what we're choosing to do.
Right.
But there is an alternative, and I don't know if people truly understand just how much stuff you can do with
yeah,
this plant.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a farming state between the industrial applications and consumable products, Alabama could and should be on the forefront of that because we have Black Delta soil, and
yes.
we are a farming state, and we have more warm months, you know, and there's so many talented people who love the plant who have left this state
mm-hmm.
to go and make money for other states.
And we're also talking about, you know, farms that are now struggling, that
right.
could find a crop that keeps them afloat or even allows them to succeed in ways that we haven't seen in this country or this state in
we
decades.
We could stop cutting down so many trees as well and make paper products out of hemp, stop wearing plastic.
Yes.
You know, and microfiber plastics and wear clothes that aren't going to keep us sick, you
mm-hmm.
know. The list goes on and on. You believe that we should suspend sentences for nonviolent crimes related to cannabis and expunge records?
I do, especially if we repeal and legalize.
Yes, absolutely.
Repeal HB 445, I should say, and we legalize it. Because there's no reason that I can think of that nonviolent people should
right.
be in jail.
Right. Right.
For stuff that's no longer illegal.
Right, right. And a lot of people argue is a victimless crime.
Yes. Now, the ones where violence is involved, that's a whole different story. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely, of course. And you believe the government of Alabama should issue a formal apology for its hasty and negligent passage of HB 445 and the unnecessary damage it's caused to our citizens' livelihoods and quality of life.
Tell us
where that statement speaks for itself, and I appreciate that that's how far you think it should go, because I agree with you. They owe all of us an apology. Some of them owe us a personal apology.
especially to you.
But yes, tell us where we can find you before we run out of time. Where can we find you, support your campaign?
So you can find me personally on Facebook. My name's Donald Modern on there. I also have a Facebook page for my campaign. That's Modern for Alabama.
And that's M-O-T-T-E-R-N, Modern.
Yes, it's pronounced Modern with a D, but it's just spelled different.
That's because we're country,
yes.
Honey.
And I also have a, you know, a political website for my campaign, which is modernforalabama.com.
You got any events coming up, anywhere you're going to be around the state?
No, you are my only thing on the schedule at the moment.
Well, we're working on something for Tuscaloosa pretty soon.
And I'll be there once you give me more info on it.
Yes, I'm going to start traveling around myself because this is too important. And when I meet candidates who have common sense conversations and ideas that are clearly for the people of Alabama, I can't help but get excited and want to support that because it shouldn't matter how much money people are raising. What should matter is how many people can get in that voting booth. The voting booth is the great equalizer here. And I don't care who you are. My vote doesn't count. Don't give me that crap. You can. And like Dr. Boyd says, Alabama can and Alabama will. Thank you, Donald, for being here
so much
tonight. Guys, join us next week. We'll be here with a lady from Texas, a DA who smoked a joint on her social media and set the whole state ablaze. Good night.